The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Meet or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Here to help you set your week 8 fantasy football lineups, our buddy Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, joining us in the Sports Bar. We had a little bit of a fantasy bonanza last night, Andy, as week 8 got underway on Thursday night with the Vikings falling to the Rams. But it sure feels like if you're a holder of Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp, certainly Matthew Stafford had himself a night, that you're feeling good about your prospects here, at least for the next few weeks.
Oh yeah, that was kind of the full expression of the Rams offense. I assume that what we also saw was a, you know, it felt like kind of an all hands on deck game for the Rams, where if they lose it and we're 2-5, then we're probably sellers. But you come out of that, you're 3-4, you're in a, you know, you're in a tie, you're in a dead heat with the Niners. So they're probably, I mean, I don't know if you're feeling like your prime competition, now has the same record as you and your offense is humming like that, hard to imagine them as sellers right now. So takes Cooper Kupp off the market, which is just a huge name. You know, we were starting to hear Stafford's name in trade rumors. So keeps the Rams together, which is probably, you know, it's probably for the best for all of their fantasy values that they just keep it together, and we hope that they stay healthy. Really good sign, again, too, if you had Puka Nacua, that he was able to play as much as he did.
Andy, since we last spoke, of course, lots of changes in the league. We'll get to Tampa Bay here in a second, what might happen there. But we also have DeAndre Hopkins now as a Kansas City Chief. And I'm imagining that for somebody that owns DeAndre Hopkins, I would hope that up to this point you've had better options ahead when it comes to starting him. But how does Hopkins now fit in this Kansas City offense? How do you project this?
Pretty good chance that if you were holding DeAndre Hopkins, it was for exactly this scenario, right? Because you weren't playing him. You just knew that he was a veteran who was available, who, if he landed with the right quarterback in the right situation, could really help and could sort of revive his fantasy prospects. It was the best landing spot out there for any receiver in all likelihood, because we now have Patrick Mahomes throwing, you know, I mean, you guys have seen it the last couple of weeks. He's throwing to like kick returners and weird tight ends who aren't Travis Kelce, and you know they're just trying to find even one professional receiver that they can throw to, and now they have one, and it's not vintage DeAndre Hopkins at age 32, but man, he can still separate a little bit. He's still as smart as it gets at the position. He has the best and strongest hands at the position, right? And just listening to the way Coach Reed has talked about him, you know, they're discussing him in that Rashee Rice, Juju Smith-Schuster sort of role, which is fine and would be really profitable for fantasy. DeAndre can do more than that. DeAndre Hopkins can be like a traditional X receiver who gets you downfield too, and we see some of that. You know, just one of the things that's been absent from Kansas City's offense out of necessity because of the quality of the receivers is just an intermediate, just a normal intermediate passing game. Like they, you know, they're, Patrick Mahomes right now, his average depth of target is around 6 yards. It's at the bottom of the league, and that's just not the highest and best use of Patrick Mahomes. It's what you got to do when you have, like, you know, a developmental rookie and, again, all these, like, super limited kick returner types. And DeAndre Hopkins sort of frees that up. Like, you can, we can throw regular bread-and-butter NFL passes to DeAndre Hopkins that are, like, 10 yards down the field, 15 yards down the field. So if they use him that way, it is particularly exciting. But it's a huge win for him. You don't need to start him in his first week as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs after a midweek trade. But I think thereafter, we're going to be looking at him as a low-end wide receiver two, wide receiver three type that we're playing pretty much every week.
We had carnage on Monday night in Tampa Bay, and man, it breaks my heart because you see these players go down, and not only are they having great seasons, but you just love to see them play. I mean, they're just so much fun to watch. And you know, I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on this Tampa Bay offense moving forward. What does it mean for Baker Mayfield, who's, from a fantasy point of view, having a really, really good season? Who picks up the slack? And what about that backfield now with the injuries to Bucky Irving? What are your prospects for this weekend as far as Tampa Bay is concerned?
Listen, from a like reality point of view, Baker Mayfield was having an awesome season.
Sure.
Career highs across the board, leading the NFL in touchdown passes, completing over 70% of his throws. Like there have still been some mistakes, but they've all been like errors of aggression. He's running proactively. He's on the verge of setting a single season career high in rushing yards. Like everything is good. The yards after catch per completion are insane. He's been super accurate. It's been wonderful to watch, but there is not a single quarterback in the league who, if you took away a pair of receivers of this quality, could survive it in fantasy terms. I mean, Chris Godwin was playing at an all-pro level. Mike Evans is a future Hall of Famer who was also playing at an all-pro level, and he's gone for at least a month, and Godwin for the year. And now, you know, the team's saying the right things. We want to put Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan in positions to succeed and all this. But man, those guys are supporting receivers, and we're going to be throwing to Kate Otten and Sterling Shepard. And there's just almost no chance that we're going to get the level of production from Baker that we'd come to expect earlier in the year. So like he goes from being somebody that, you know, you were starting every week and you weren't even thinking twice about it. And now he's probably a drop in one quarterback leagues, because unless they make a deal, and the best trade possibility out there for them had been someone like Cooper Kupp, who could slide into the Godwin role. I mean, these are serious headwinds for Baker Mayfield from this point forward, and I don't think he can make it out of this as a top 10 fantasy quarterback.
We're talking to Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy here, helping to optimize your lineup here. If we had to go teams that are most disappointing from a fantasy standpoint, I think one of the obvious answers would be the Miami Dolphins. For the first time since week two, we get Tua in the lineup. Seems like a pretty decent opponent, I guess. They're going up against Arizona, but are we ready to just kind of plug everything in, like our projections going back to the start of the season? How do you view the situation here in Miami?
Yeah, short answer is yes. You should reset your expectations for Miami's offense to whatever they were in September with Tua. And it's not, you know, it's not like it was always a clinic for Miami, but this is just going to be a very different situation than it was with Tyler Huntley at quarterback. You're firing up Tyreek Hill. You're firing up Jalen Waddle. We feel good about him again. I mean, whatever you think of Tua, and he's not a locked in fantasy starter. He doesn't have any rushing element to his game, anything like that. But man, he can run that offense, and that's really all they need at this point. So yeah, Tyreek Hill, top five fantasy receiver. Jalen Waddle, solid enough wide receiver too. Going to have big weeks. Going to have quiet weeks. I feel really good about it. I feel good about that running game now with Achan. We just need Tua to stay healthy. You know, if Tua stays healthy, man, they had such a swing game for them a week ago too. Like they could be kind of sort of in it in terms of record, but they've buried themselves a little bit. But man, they have a real opportunity to get on track here as long as Tua stays healthy. And I think you can feel really good about that receiving core again.
Andy, do you agree with me when I say things like Jameis Winston makes the NFL more fun? I'm excited for Cleveland and Baltimore just to see what the Browns look like with Jameis Winston behind center. And at minimum, it should be fun. But what can we expect, if anything, out of that Browns offense? Do you go any deeper than David Njoku and Jameis Winston in that offense?
Yeah, this is the conversation we've been having about the Browns in a way, right? You can be, you know, if you're going to be bad, you can either be bad, or you can be like fun bad. And with Jameis, you can really be fun bad, because we know Jameis has taken some shots. Like his average depth of target over the course of his career, and basically in every season, is 10 or 11, right? I think it's 10.9 for his career or something like that. Like, that guy's going downfield. Ken Dorsey, the guy who's taken over the play calling, he'll go downfield too. Like, this is going to be a fun offense. And we saw, you know, Cedric Tillman basically step into the Amari Cooper snaps last week. He's a good candidate for it. He's an X receiver type. So he's not Amari Cooper, but he's somebody who can gain a little value. He's probably the only guy that I would take an interest in other than David Njoku. Njoku now really becomes like a top five sort of fantasy tight end. Good situation. I think they're going to be able to score a little bit with Jameis. So I'm pretty interested in what Cleveland has now.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy, you know we pay a lot of attention to the Bills. The Bills go into the Pacific Northwest, a team they don't hardly ever see. And no, Seattle doesn't have DK Metcalf. However, Buffalo without Terrell Bernard, we learned today. We also learned that run-stuffing rookie defensive tackle Dwayne Carter is not going to be available. Seattle, you would think, would get the running game going. My question is, I have this fear that this is going to be a Noah Fant game. How do you view the projections on the Seahawks offense entering this matchup against Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to a longtime Iowa tight end apologist, so I don't fear a Noah Fant game. You say Noah Fant game, and I'm like, let's go. That sounds good to me. I don't mind Noah Fant. I don't mind a little Jackson Smith and Jigba. They still have good receiving weapons there. I mean, this is a Kenneth Walker game though. And however we may feel about Seattle receivers, and like JSN has played really well and Tyler Lockett can still play. But man, Kenneth Walker's been so good. He's scoring better than a touchdown per week. He is all of a sudden a great receiving weapon for that team. I think he's got 23 catches on the year. He's barely played. Like, he's missed some time too. He made a phenomenal touchdown catch last week. And of course he's always been, from the moment he came into the league, he's just like a big game hunter as a runner. And he's been really smart this year. I think this is his best season running the football. And he's just reached an entirely different, like, he's added a dimension to his game as a receiver. He's been so fun. And obviously, you guys know Buffalo has, when they run into a marquee back, when they run into like a really good running back, they have had some trouble this year. So if Seattle makes this competitive, if this stays like a one score game, it is probably going to be because Kenneth Walker wills it to be that.
Our guys got flexed, Andy. I mean, this is the matchup we were all waiting for. Caleb Williams and, oh, Jaden Daniels. I mean, what do we know? You know, the reports are that he did practice today. Do we think that we see the matchup between number one and number two, the two rookie quarterbacks? What's your projection here for Bears Commanders in the late afternoon window?
I really hope we do, because it feels like, and I don't know, this could be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but this feels like this could be like a meaningful matchup in the NFC for like the next 10 years, right? So this is a chance to get the first chapter of it. So I hope Daniels is able to go. It really fun because if you're me as a Bears fan, the Washington defense has been, they've had their moments, but they don't really stop much of anything. They're kind of middle of the pack overall. And Caleb is just on such a roll right now. He's a top five fantasy quarterback over the last four games. When he's gotten a hold of a poor defense, he's absolutely lit them up. And the other fun thing with the Bears is, you know, even despite the early struggles that Caleb had, they're putting a lot on Williams. They are, you know, he's audibling. He is, you know, he's drawn it up at the line quite often. He is assigning protections. Like, they have a lot on Caleb's plate. This is not as simple as, oh, hey, your first read isn't, we're going to give you a half field read. And if it's not there, take off and run. It's not that stuff. Like, this is like big boy quarterbacking that they have Caleb doing. And it's been fun to watch, if painful at times. So I think now mid season, he's really coming into his own. Great receiving core, and they're all healthy. Cole Kmet playing well. Like, I think the Bears can put up a number in this one. Of course, if Jaden Daniels is a quarterback, so can Washington. He's been dynamic as well. He's been really exciting. So I hope we get that. If you made me guess right now as to whether Daniels is going to play this week, I would probably say no, in part because they got such a good effort from Marcus Mariota last week. Like, he played really well. This Bears defense, though, is a top five unit in terms of both scoring and in terms of yardage. They'll give it up on the ground a little bit, but they've been very stingy to opposing passers. So tougher situation on the Washington side than it is, I would say, for Caleb Williams and the Bears. But either way, I mean, this is the game. This is the game that I'm glued to.
Yeah, we're talking to Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, and Chicago Bear apologist, along with Danger. Andy, for the second time in as many weeks, the Steelers in a primetime game against a New York opponent. This week they get the Giants, and normally I wouldn't ask you, like, I'm looking at the over-under in this game, 36.5. Tells me maybe not the best option for fantasy, maybe that's just the Giants. What are your thoughts? What did you see out of Russell Wilson in that second half? Is that enough to believe that, hey, maybe the Steelers could be an option here for the rest of the season?
It wasn't enough to make me think, wow, I need to add Russell Wilson in fantasy. I certainly think that he did enough to keep his starting edge over Justin Fields. Like, fantasy-wise, we wanted Justin to have that job. Like, Justin Fields was, when he got pulled from that job, he was the QB 6 or 7 on the year. And we're just starting to see the rushing upside from him. So that would have been the better situation for fantasy. He was feeding George Pickens just fine. We'll see if they add a wide receiver ahead of the deadline. So far, all of the right teams that absolutely needed receivers have added them. So that's been good. And we don't have to worry about like Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams going to the Steelers. Like, I'm not fully convinced that Russell Wilson can support two receivers that were starting week in and week out. It was nice to see him make some good downfield throws last week. Really encouraging. I'm hung up on the year that he just had in Denver, where I know it looked good statistically, but is just super weird to watch it week after week, because he was really only throwing at the line of scrimmage and he would take two deep shots a game. And that just isn't real NFL quarterbacking. That's not what you see from the rest of the league. So we'll see if he gets back to, if we get game after game that looked just like the second half last week, that would be really encouraging. I still think he's just kind of on the outside of, the collection of quarterbacks that we're actually using in fantasy leagues in one QB leagues.
The Sunday night matchup is a compelling one, as it always is. Whenever the Cowboys and Niners get together, it just brings back so many great memories. And we'll see what this game looks like on Sunday night with a quarterback in Brock Purdy who came off, he was really bad last week. Like, that was not a good game for Brock Purdy against the Kansas City Chiefs last weekend, Andy. And I'm curious as to what you think San Francisco's offense looks like now with no Brandon Ayuk. I don't know, is Debo. Debo's out of the hospital, but I imagine he's probably not playing since he's dealing with pneumonia, of all things. I mean, this feels like a mess, but it's Kyle Shanahan, and I don't want to dismiss what the Niners' offense can be for fantasy purposes.
Well, given the opponent, and granted, like, you know, Dallas has been a dangerous team coming off their bye in recent seasons, and Dak has really good numbers coming off the bye and all that, but given the opponent, and given what a friendly matchup Dallas has been to opposing running backs this year, hard to imagine that we're not just going to get, to, you know, 25 carries from Jordan Mason and good luck stopping him. Because Dallas has given up over 140 rushing yards per game, over 4.5 rushing yards per carry, double-digit rushing touchdowns on the season. Like, some guys have gone off. Like, the Alvin Kamara game was a perfect example. And they're a really banged-up defense. No Parsons back this week. Lawrence still out. So it was a defense that was bad to start the year, and they've gotten a little bit worse as we've gone along. So especially given the absence of Ayuk, Kittle has been dealing with an injury. Debo, who knows if he goes at all, how many snaps can he play? Because freaking pneumonia, right? Like, that's normally like that, the effects of that can be like a month long. So you can't expect him to play a full complement of snaps and have his normal role. So I just think it's the Jordan Mason show, and, you know, well, Dak and CeeDee Lamb will probably get theirs, but you know, this to me feels like a game that San Francisco should be able to win time of possession like 40-20. And Jordan Mason should be able to give us triple-digit rushing yards, couple of touchdowns, and it becomes a Niners win. If it's not a Niners win and the Niners fall to 3-5, they are in real trouble heading into their bye.
Andy, last one from me, and if we're going to talk about MVPs in the league, certainly Lamar Jackson on Monday night last week making his case. Jordan Love coming back, and he has been fun if he's been your quarterback. I just look at this matchup and like, wait a second, Vegas has the Packers only by 4. This looks a little fishy against Jacksonville, but then I wonder, well, this is always kind of whether the Aaron Rodgers era, like the Packers always had issues when they went down to Florida. How do you view this matchup, Green Bay heading to Jacksonville where the over-under is 49.5?
I agree with you. It seems like a crazy line to me, and it seems like the Packers should be at least a touchdown favorite. Because Love, obviously playing well, playing super aggressive, like high-quality throws, and he's, you know, it's a different guy every week. Some weeks it's, you know, it's Romeo Doubs, the X receiver. Other weeks it's, you know, Jaden Reed, the chess piece. And they got a bunch of, they got Wicks, they got Watson, they got Kraft, they got a bunch of other talented guys. And Jacksonville has the worst pass defense in the league. So I don't know how they prevent him from having another 3 or 4 touchdown game, which he's just doing routinely now. So now we have, like, can Jacksonville keep pace with that? I'm not confident they can. I mean, the Packers have given up some yards this year, but they're also super opportunistic. They rip the ball away from you. So I have a difficult time imagining Jacksonville keeping this close. And you know, I think Jordan Love could finish as the QB1 overall this week. I think that's definitely in his range of outcomes. It's also, I will say one thing on the Jacksonville side, like, Tank Bigsby has been a really fun running back, and he's, you know, played a lot in the absence of Travis Etienne. He is very game script dependent, and they have just kind of a murderer's row of offenses ahead of them. And he just doesn't play. If it's time to throw, if it's like 2-minute offense, if it's an obvious passing situation, Bigsby comes off the field. So that's a guy where I would temper my expectations a little bit, just because the teams coming up on the schedule are going to be so rough for them.
Andy, tell everybody about Fantasy Football Live and how we can make you a part of our game day routine on Sundays.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to do that? An hour before kickoff of the early games on Sunday, it's me, it's Matt Harmon, it's Jason Fitz, it's Tara Roberts. We have a lot of fun. We go over all the actives, inactives. We talk about all the storylines, late breaking news, answer a bunch of questions, get in a bunch of arguments, throw a bunch of nonsense at the wall. Really fun show. So please check us out on Yahoo Sports.
Are we dressing up for Halloween on Sunday? Is there any bit like that we should be looking on here?
Next Thursday. So glad you asked.
Actually,
next
Halloween.
Yeah, very good.
It's the half hour Fantasy Football Live ahead of kickoff on Thursday night. I think I have a banger of a costume. I don't know if I'm pretty confident that I'm gonna look like what I intend to look like, but at the very least, I'm going to look ridiculous.
All right, we love hearing this, and by the time we talk to you next week at this time, we will have a critique.
Yeah.
We will have a critique of your Halloween costume, and we can't wait to talk about it next week, along with all the great fantasy advice you dish out. Andy, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you too. Good luck, everyone.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, joins us every Friday afternoon to help set your fantasy football lineups here on the Fan Rochester. We're going to take a break, come back, and meet some of the student athletes. BK Selects, they are waiting in our green room now. We'll get to them here on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, the Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.